In the misty fells of Cumbria, three women separated by centuries share a remarkable gift and a dangerous legacy. When birds gather at their approach, insects respond to their touch, and animals offer protection, it's not coincidence, but birthright. The Wayward Women have always been different, their connection to nature both blessing and curse in a world determined to control female power. Their intertwined stories reveal how little has changed across four centuries. Women's bodies remain battlegrounds, their autonomy contested, their differences feared. Yet in this struggle lies a profound truth. That which makes us vulnerable can become our greatest strength. Alpha Wayward languishes in Lancaster Castle's dungeon in 1619, awaiting trial for witchcraft. Her crime? Using her gift to protect her childhood friend Grace from an abusive husband. In 1942, 15-year-old Violet Ayres chafes against the gilded cage of aristocratic life at Orton Hall, her scientific curiosity dismissed as inappropriate for a young lady, her strange affinity for insects treated as aberration. In present-day 2019, Kate flees her controlling partner Simon, seeking refuge in the remote Wayward cottage she's inherited from her great-aunt Violet. Though separated by time, their struggles mirror each other with eerie precision. Each woman faces a society determined to label her difference as dangerous. Each confronts men who seek to possess rather than understand her. And each must discover that what marks her as other is precisely what might save her. Have you ever felt a strange kinship with the natural world? For the Wayward Women, this connection transcends mere appreciation. It's communion. Damselflies land on their palms like living jewelry. Crows appear at crucial moments to guide them. Moths respond to their emotions. These abilities mark them as different in societies that fear what they cannot understand. When Violet climbs her beloved silver beech tree, she's reconnecting with her true nature. When Alpha gathers herbs under moonlight, she's tapping into ancient knowledge predating patriarchal control. When Kate follows a crow through snowy woods after her accident, she's trusting an instinct she inherently feels. This wildness represents female autonomy in its purest form, a connection to something ancient and powerful beyond social conventions or male authority. The separation of women from their natural powers has been a deliberate strategy of control, harming both women and the earth. The Wayward gift is not supernatural, but ultra-natural, a heightened connection to the world that surrounds us, all but that most have forgotten how to feel. Hide your wildness, Altha's mother warned her. Use only your healing, nothing more. This caution echoes through generations of wayward women, each learning that difference invites danger. While persecution methods evolve across centuries, their purpose remains unchanged, controlling women who refuse to conform. In Altha's time, the threat is explicit, the witch trial seeking a devil's mark. Witchcraft accusations target women living independently, practicing herbal medicine, or challenging male authority. Witnesses claim a crow caused John Milburn's death, an incident Alpha orchestrated to protect Grace from her abusive husband. For Violet, persecution disguises itself as protection. Her father limits her education for her own good. When cousin Frederick's assault leaves her pregnant, she faces asylum commitment until a quiet marriage can be arranged. Science replaces superstition, her connection to nature reframed as mental illness requiring correction. Kate's modern nightmare reveals how little has changed. Simon monitors her phone, controls her movements, and tries trapping her through pregnancy. When she escapes to Wayward Cottage, he pursues her with escalating violence. The language shifts from witchcraft to domestic disputes, but the dynamic persists, a man determined to own rather than understand a woman's power. Throughout all narratives, women's bodies remain battlegrounds, scrutinized for condemning anomalies, controlled through pregnancy, and subjected to violations disguised as examinations. Trauma echoes through generations of wayward women, creating patterns of fear and survival across centuries. Altha's mother teaches her to hide her true nature after witnessing persecution. Elizabeth suffers abuse from her husband Rupert, who exploits her abilities before trying to destroy her. Kate carries the guilt of believing her childhood fascination with a crow caused her father's fatal accident, a burden shaping her entire adult life. Yet alongside this inherited trauma flows remarkable resilience. Altha's preserved manuscript becomes a lifeline of knowledge for both Violet and Kate. Physical objects, Violet's bee brooch, the W pendant, serve as talismans connecting the women across time, each activating something dormant in its new owner. The novel suggests that while oppression persists, female resistance endures with equal strength. Each wayward woman develops strategies for survival and autonomy, preserving knowledge through objects, writings, and lived experience. Kate naming her daughter Violet Altha isn't merely tribute, but reclamation, ensuring the wayward legacy continues. What if inherited trauma also evidences our ancestors' survival? What if, alongside pain, we inherit strategies for resistance and tools for liberation? Each protagonist discovers liberation by embracing her outsider status. Altha transforms isolation into independence, creating a sanctuary for women seeking help. Violet rejects marriage to become a respected entomologist, conducting research from the Amazon to Nepal. Kate finds that Crowsbeck's remoteness offers not isolation, but protection, a place to rebuild her identity away from Simon's control. The novel reveals how women's freedom often exists in society's peripheral spaces. Wayward Cottage, positioned on the village outskirts, serves as both literal and metaphorical sanctuary where unconventional women can define themselves rather than accepting society's definitions. Historically, witch persecutions targeted women living outside social norms, widows, healers, midwives, and independent women whose knowledge threatened patriarchal control. The wayward women's connection to nature reimagines these persecuted traits as sources of power, reclaiming the witch archetype as one of empowerment and ecological understanding. The most powerful aspect of the wayward legacy is its celebration of female community across centuries. Though separated by time, Altha, Violet, and Kate form a profound spiritual sisterhood through shared experiences and heritage. Altha's manuscript speaks directly to Violet with generational intimacy, while Violet's pendant, left for Kate with the note, "I hope she can help you as she helped me," continues this chain of support. This sisterhood extends beyond bloodlines. Grace remains Altha's friend despite class boundaries and witch hunts. Emily becomes Kate's fierce advocate during her escape from abuse. When Kate confronts Simon, she feels Altha, Violet, and all the wayward women surrounding her, not just as memories, but as a vital force. The novel concludes with Kate naming her daughter Violet Altha, a child who will grow up embracing her power rather than hiding it. As Altha wrote centuries earlier, "Perhaps that time is now." In our fractured world, the wayward women teach us that differences can be strengths, nature offers forgotten wisdom, and the bonds between women across generations and centuries may be our most powerful inheritance.